His divine grace shall see Bhakti Vedanta Swamira Shila Prabhupada for Premanande Bhakti Vedanta Swamina Namaste Sarasvati. Om Agnantivanandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chatsur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Hayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vidantam Sadrivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prajna Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakam Svitamscha He Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishubhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Turbhyascha Kripa Sindhavivacha Padidanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10. Wrong book. Did you get the Bhagavatam? Canto 10, Chapter 7, The Killing of Trinavarta, Text 27. Tam. Angsmanam. Manyamana. Atmana Guru Mataya. Dale. Grihite Uthrashtum Na Ashoknat Adbhuta Arvakam Tam Asmana Manyamana Atmano Guru Mataya Kale Grihita Uthrashtum Na Shoknot Adbhutarpakam Tam Ashmanam Manama Manyamana Atmano Guru Mataya Dale Grihita Uthrashtum Na Shoknot Adbhutarpakam Tam Krishna Ashmanam, very heavy stone like a lump of iron. Vanyamana, thinking like that. Atmana Guru Mataya, because of being heavier than he could personally perceive. Gale, his neck. Grihite, being embraced or encircled by his arms. Uthrashtum, to give up. Na Ashoknat, was not able. Adbhuta Arvakam, this wonderful child who was different. Who is different from an ordinary child. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Because of Krishna's weight, Trinavarta considered him to be like a great mountain or a hunk of iron. But because Krishna had caught the demon's neck, the demon was unable to throw him off. He therefore thought of the child as wonderful, since he could neither bear the child nor cast aside the burden. Purport, Trinavarta intended to take Krishna up in the sky and kill him, but Krishna enjoyed the pastime of riding on Trinavarta's body and traveling for a while in the sky. Thus Trinavarta's attempt to kill Krishna failed. While Krishna, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Vigraha, enjoyed this pastime, now since Trinavarta was falling, because of Krishna's heaviness, he wanted to save himself by throwing Krishna off from his neck, but was unable to do so because Krishna held him very tightly. Consequently, this would be the last time for Trinavarta's yogic power. Now, he was going to die by the arrangement of Krishna. Dum-dum-dum.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Vidaya Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Kauravani Vajarne Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatya De Siddharne. It appears that Trinavarta is going to lose, at least that's what is being predicted here, that Trinavarta, he had some idea that Krishna, he was an ordinary person. But that's not very unusual. Every demon has the same idea. That's what a demon means. Asatyam apratishtam te jagat ahura anishuram aparashparam sambhutyam kimanyak kamahai tukam. They say that this world is unreal, it has no foundation, it has no God in control. It is produced as sex desire and has no other cause than lust. The demons can't see that behind these wonderful arrangements, there is a wonderful arranger. And even when that wonderful arranger comes personally, still, generally people cannot recognize who he is. Therefore, Krishna says, Avajananti mamuda manushim tanum ashityam. Param bhavam ajanando mama bhuta maheshwaram. Avajananti mamhuda. So they're considered to be fools because Krishna, the source of everything, is personally coming and they're claiming that he's an ordinary person. Itam sukham brahma bhutya sukha. Itam sukham. Oh, that's right. Itam satam brahma sukhanubhutya dasyanam gatanam daivatena mayashritanam naradarakena viraju putapunja kritapunja punja. Everyone sees Krishna according to their position. And the conditioned soul, under the influence of the modes of ignorance and passion, they conceive of Krishna as an ordinary personality. And because of that, they remain perpetually in the material world. It may seem that we're part of some small cult, at least here in Belgium, now it's being claimed that the Hare Krishnas are a perhaps dangerous cult set. But actually, in this material world, there's just a few people compared to the spiritual world, and they're part of a dangerous cult. They're part of a materialistic cult, renegade cult, trying to get away and disobey the laws of the Supreme Lord. And there's a few deputed agents meant to plead with these crazy people to come back to the spiritual world. To give up their rebellious attitude, renegade attitude, and come back to the spiritual world. In any case, it's not unusual that in a prison, the policemen are not very popular. I don't think if you ran a popularity contest in a prison, necessarily the prison warden and his assistants would get the vote for the most popular. Generally, the prisoners don't like any authority. And the supreme authority, even when he personally comes, the prisoners don't like him. Even one of the superintendents of the prison, namely Lord Brahma, he also became a little bewildered. And he thought Krishna was just an ordinary boy, and therefore he stole from him. Not a pen or a pencil or even $100. He stole all his coward boys and calves. He thought he did. Actually, he didn't really steal Krishna's cowherd boys and calves in one sense, because they're transcendental. But in any case, he thought he had stolen. The fact is that Krishna, well, this is more subtle thing, Krishna had actually given him an illusory set of cowherd boys and calves, and Krishna personally put them asleep somewhere else. Now, these are all technicalities. But the fact is, he thought he had stolen Krishna's cowherd boys and calves. even Lord Brahma, who's supposed to be on our side, wound up to be on the demon's side, at least temporarily. Even Indra, he became puffed up by his position, and Krishna had to lift Govardhan Hill to save the residents of Vrindavan. And then Indra realized his mistake, and he became thunderstruck, seeing Krishna's extraordinary power. And what to speak of ourselves as conditioned souls? Our main problem is that we have to understand who is Krishna. As I mentioned before, that's why there's 9 cantos before we get to the 10th canto, because the tendency to think is that this is mythological. Some whirlwind demon, right? Some whirlwind demon came and took Krishna away and went up 800,000 yojanas or something? What's that? No, we read it Sachinanda Maharaj, he read from the Goswamis. It was something like, it had to be in yojanas. 800,000 yojanas. Or maybe it was 800 yojanas. Still, it's a long time. It's a long way. A yojana is 2.5 miles. So even you go up 800 yojanas, a whirlwind demon. So our tendency is to think, I haven't seen any whirlwind demons. Have you? Anyone seen a whirlwind demon? You know, what about, and coming and creating a dust storm, you know, 100-something miles all around, and picking up this little baby boy and taking him up high in the sky. This is all sounds like interesting story. But as far as taking it seriously, you know, we take it maybe half seriously. Of course, it may seem like an insult to the members of the Hare Krishna movement that they don't take these pastimes seriously. But that's the nature of conditioned life, is that we have no experience. Most of us don't have any direct experience of Krishna, or we don't identify Krishna as being so powerful that he's the person, this little baby, is the one who's controlling the sun, he's moving all the planets in their orbits, he's in our heart as the super soul, and he comes as a little baby and allows some demon with extraordinary mystic powers to come and pick him up and take him into the sky. As I mentioned previously, Prabhupada said one of their main problems of the Hare Krishna movement is that the devotees don't believe in Krishna. But our movement is meant to scientifically explain who Krishna is. Not that we have no faith at all in Krishna. There's a little shraddha in the beginning, or more shraddha, Prabhupada said. Maya saktamanak parata yogam yun janmanashaya asam shayam samagramam itak yasasi tatshinu. It's when the mind is perfectly fixed on Krishna, then asamashayam samagramam, then our misgivings can be put aside, or will be put aside, or eradicated. The principal misgivings are that we identify ourselves with this body. And of course, identification with this body, or the mind, is due to our desire for sense gratification. We may think that sense gratification, it's just normal. What would someone do if he became like the Goswamis, Raghunath Das Goswami? Every other day he had a little bit of Charanamrita, only 3 drops. And that's all he ate. He didn't sleep, maybe 1 or 2 hours a day. He only had a little Charanamrita. And he didn't crash out, you know, on Sunday, as they say in the colloquial. That's what he did. And he was always, just like the Goswamis, they were Radha Krishna Gunasmridhara Madhurima Nandena Sanmohito. They were completely absorbed in the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna. But until we come to that platform, then we identify ourselves with this body. And actually, someone who identifies himself with the body thinks that the origin of the material universe is something material. That from the material elements, everything has just come about. that there is no other cause behind the material creation. Therefore, someone who identifies himself with the body and who doesn't see a higher cause behind the universe than something material, he'll be very reluctant to waste this, what he thinks is to waste his time in spiritual life. Because within himself, he doesn't really believe that there's such a thing as spiritual life. His whole life is material. His whole experience is material. So where's the question of spending time in spiritual life? He has no experience like that. Therefore, he'll be reluctant to perform spiritual activities. He may not even understand what a spiritual activity is, what to speak of performing it. This is certainly a product of the mode of ignorance. And mode of ignorance is born out of attachment to the material body. And then one who raises himself a little above the material body or the mind, then he becomes fearful. Generally, people take the spiritual life not out of enthusiasm to expect something better, but out of fear of how horrible the material existence is. Even Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, explaining about his form of time, he says it's horrible. Kalosmi shaya krit prarido lokansa maharatamiha praridak ritepi tvam napa vishanti sarve yevastita pratnyukeshi yoda. Time I am, the destroyer of all this world. I have come here to engage everyone. That means all of us also. Except for you, the Pandavas, everyone here on all sides will be slain. In other words, when we realize that we're all going to die, we're all in death row, so we've been condemned. That's right. The high court above even Yamaraj has condemned all of us to death. And we're just waiting on death row for the final execution. When we hear about that, then we become a little fearful. Is it true? We turn to each other and say, is it true I'm going to die? No, don't worry about it, Prabhu. Calm down. There are exceptions. Now, when we hear about that, we naturally become fearful and thinking that not having experience of a higher realm of existence, then we fear coming back to the material world again after dying, having to repeatedly take birth and then die. And so such persons, they naturally prefer the idea of merging into some oneness where they don't have to take birth again. They think existence means to have an identity and try to squeeze out some enjoyment, but perpetually suffer one life after another. So naturally they want to escape out of fear. They don't take the spiritual life out of joy, but out of anxiety of the miseries of material existence. And such persons, they'll fear their identity. If they're told they have an identity, a spiritual identity, they'll imagine themselves to have some material spiritual identity. There's whole classes of religions where they imagine that after leaving your body, or you don't leave your body because you are your body merges into the earth. And when Jesus Christ comes or someone comes, then you're resurrected in the self-same body. And everyone lives happily or unhappily, or something happily, in some world. And there is grandmother, there is grandfather, everyone's sitting at the table, and everyone's very happy. They're all together again. Grandfather, still, he has spiritual arthritis. And grandmother has rheumatism, and everyone, but they're all at the table, so they're happy. Even the dogs are there underneath the table fighting over some spiritual bones, and everyone's pleased. Jesus Christ is at the head of the table, and everyone has a big smile except for the turkey on the table, because he has a big knife sticking out of his back. So these conceptions are certainly mundane. Fear of a spiritual personality will naturally mean that one will not want a personality. And then others, they think that this is all nonsense, it's all speculation, that this idea that we are the body, they may even realize there's something beyond the body, or the idea that after leaving this body, we merge in some existence which is indescribable. So such persons, they certainly become disturbed, and they conclude that ultimately everything is zero. When you're dead, you're dead. But they also become frustrated, thinking of the fact that everything is a waste of time. Doesn't matter how hard I work, what I learn, how much I accumulate, what I do, ultimately, we all wind up in the same place. Zero. So this is called, they become frustrated out of the idea of the void. So such persons, they cannot at all appreciate Krishna. The idea of spiritual life, living in a spiritual world where you can eat as much prasadam as you want and you never get a stomach ache. You live there forever and everything is bliss. Shriya Kanta Kanta Parama Purusha Kapataruvo Druma Bhumis Chintamani Garamayitoyam Amritam Kata Ganam Natyam Gamanam Apivang Sipriyasaki Chidanandam Jyoti Param Apitad Vasvarapita. So this idea that there is some person, he plays on a flute and billions of goddesses of fortune, they come running. And he's the Param Purusha, he's the supreme enjoyer of everything. Shriya Kanta, Kanta, Parama Purusha, Kalpa Tura. And there are trees, but there are Kalpa Vriksha trees. And whatever you want, you go to the tree and he immediately supplies you. The water there is just like nectar. The ground is made out of Chintamani stones. Everyone is singing there. There's no talking. Everyone is dancing. The flute is the favorite attendant. All these things. The idea of such a world is just, to most people, it's just too good to be true. But the only thing is they find out that you can't be God there. You wind up to be a servant. Of course, in the spiritual world, the servants have the same position as God, practically speaking, or even better than God. This is, for most people, it's just too extraordinary. Because they don't have even the preliminary knowledge. Preaching begins with explaining to people that you're not your body, that you're a spiritual being. And when people can grasp this idea that there's a difference between yourself and your body, it opens a whole different realm of possibility. Because we've been more or less been brainwashed by modern society into this misconception that there's nothing beyond matter. But just by a little exercise of intelligence and seeing how the body's changing, but ourselves within the body, we're always the same, that at once a different realm of experience has opened up, a different realm of possibility, that there is at least one person who's eternal. Me. And it appears that there are many other people who are also eternal. So there's a whole club of eternal beings. And that the only thing that's changing is this hat and coat that we have on, namely this body. And here, the person who's explaining this, he's also explaining that there's another world where there's nothing but eternal beings there. And that they're all experiencing what everyone is looking for. What is everyone looking for? Everyone's looking for unlimited happiness that goes on forever. And there's a world where that's actually going on right now. And we can join in that world. And here, in that world, everything is blissful. Even this pastime with Trinavarta. For the demons, to hear about Trinavarta is certainly very disturbing. that, you know, the demons always lose. You read Srimad Bhagavatam, if a demon reads Srimad Bhagavatam, after a while he'll become discouraged. I don't think there's any demon that wins in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sometimes they win against the demigods temporarily. But when it's one-on-one with Krishna, it's always... And that they're all experiencing what everyone is looking for. What is everyone looking for? Everyone's looking for unlimited happiness that goes on forever. And there's a world where that's actually going on right now. And we can join in that world. And here, in that world, everything is blissful. Even this pastime with Trinavarta. For the demons, to hear about Trinavarta is certainly very disturbing. That, you know, the demons always lose. If a demon reads Srimad Bhagavatam, after a while he'll become discouraged. I don't think there's any demon that wins in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sometimes they win against the demigods temporarily. But when it's one-on-one with Krishna, it's always a knockout, you know, victory on Krishna's side. Therefore, it's very discouraging for a demon to read Srimad Bhagavatam. But for the devotees, it's very enlivening. That if you have Krishna on your side, then you know you're going to win. Yatra yogeshvara Krishna, yatra partha dhanardana, tatra shira vijaya bhutir, luva nitir matir mama. Wherever there is Krishna, wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, and Krishna, the master of mystic power, there's certainly going to be extraordinary victory and morality and opulence. Everything auspicious will be there. And here, Trinavarta, although he's so powerful, he's killed by Krishna. So what to speak of the little, tiny, insignificant demons nowadays? Krishna, he hasn't diminished in strength. Krishna is just as powerful as he was when he killed Hiranyakashipu, or when he killed Trinavarta. Just like when Ravana had to fight against Ramachandra, which is in Treta Yuga, he became anxious, so he went to his relative, his ancestor, Bali Maharaj, to find out if Bali Maharaj would assist him. But Bali Maharaj, he declined. He said, "My dear Ravana," he said, "I'm a little old now. I don't feel like fighting. Besides that, don't waste your time fighting against Vishnu. You're certainly going to lose. But if you want to fight against him, I'll tell you what. I can't give you very much. I can't help you, but I can give you one present. I'll give you one ornament. Some wealth. And that way you'll get some wealth. You can fight against Vishnu." And Ravana became very elated. "Yes, I'll take whatever you can give me." And Bali Maharaj brought him to one huge room. And in the room was a diamond as big as a mountain. And it was covered by all kinds of emeralds and all different types of huge emeralds. And Bali Maharaj said, "Yes, if you can take this home with you, you can take it with you." So Ravana became very excited and he tried to pick it up, but it was so heavy he couldn't pick it up. And Bali Maharaj said, "My dear Ravana," he said, "you want to fight against Vishnu, but actually, do you know where this earring has come from? This is an earring. This is a huge earring. It's not a mountain of diamonds. It's a huge earring. Do you know where it came from? This came from you. In your last life, you were born as Hiranyakashipu. And this was one of your earrings on your ears. But when you fought against Lord Nrisimhadev, the incarnation of Vishnu, and were killed, this earring fell from your ear and landed here. In your last lifetime, this was just your earring. And Vishnu killed you in that incarnation. And now you're Ravana. You've lost so much power and strength. You can't even pick up your own little earring. And you're going to go and fight against Vishnu again? Good luck. You'll need it." And here we find Trinavarta, seemingly very powerful, but he's in Dwarpa Yuga, completely insignificant. What to speak of the little demons today? So they may seem like they're causing some problems sometimes, but actually at the chosen time, Krishna will come and in his own way eliminate the unwanted, the glanir bhavati bharata, the unwanted personalities who are interfering with the progressive march of people in general towards Krishna consciousness. And although they may try to escape, Krishna, he's giving them all facility to seemingly take him or his movement to a position where he's going to harass them. But actually, this is all part of Krishna's pastime. Eventually, he'll hang on to their necks very tight, and they'll fall down and crash to the sky, just like Trinavarta. And it's all those who are devotees who are watching it. It's all part of the pleasure pastimes of Krishna. And those who are aspiring to become devotees, by this activity, it makes, as we'll find out in the subsequent verses, it makes everyone very anxious. Is Krishna going to win this time? It appears that the demons are quite strong. But as long as they take refuge of Krishna, then Krishna will tell all of them, don't worry, I'll protect you. That's the devotee. So Krishna arranges these pastimes so the devotees become very anxious and take shelter of Krishna. The demons become very puffed up with their accumulated poison and they think, now we've finally killed Krishna, now we've gotten him exactly where we want him, and now we're going to throw him down and kill him. But their very position that they've created winds up that they put themselves in a position where they get smashed. The final idea is that we shouldn't worry. Krishna will take care of everything. Not a blade of grass is moving without Krishna's sanction. The only thing we have to worry about is whether we ourselves are going to take shelter of Krishna. Or we're going to think, well, this is all mythology. The only thing I can take shelter of is my bank balance or my material education or something like that. But when everything comes down to the final line, everything is tested by how much we will actually take shelter of Krishna. That's our only asset. I'll stop there. Thank you. Are there any questions? Yes.
You just said the most ignorance is born out of attachment to the body. You could elaborate on this?
Well, without attachment to the body, you can't be in ignorance. In other words, ignorance means identify with my body. That's the predominant mode in the material world. Everyone in the material world, to some extent, identifies himself with the body. But why do we identify ourselves with the body? Because we're attached to the body, or the senses, or the mind. So unless we're attached to the things related to the body, we wouldn't identify ourselves with the body. So if due to ignorance we identify ourselves with the body, it all begins with attachment. Attachment to ignorance. Attachment to the body. Vita raga baya krodha. If we want to make progress, we have to become free from these things, from attachment, fear, and anger. Of course, attachment, generally, we say, is born of the mode of passion. And from attachment, when we become attached to something, then we become fearful of losing it. And because we have to lose it, therefore we become angry and frustrated. And anger, certainly in the mode of ignorance, produces foolishness. So from passion comes anger, from ignorance. Yes.
You mentioned that the Sikh Goswami, they were on this platform where they only needed to sleep 2 hours and take a little chant after you mentioned, I guess. So, and you said that until they come to this platform, she would still be attached to the body. So does that mean that each and every one of us has to come to that platform in order to go back to consciousness?
Yeah. Yes, of course. We have to be so much attached to Krishna that we're not attached to the body anymore. Do you have another idea? What platform can you? What other platform can you come to?
I mean, I've heard about the devotees who left their body and they were not on that platform, but they went back to Godhead.
How do you know they went back to Godhead? They sent you a telegram?
Left their body and went down?
Yes. Yes, but how do you know they weren't on that platform? Are you sure? If they weren't on that platform, then they didn't go back to Godhead. And if they were on that platform, then they went back to Godhead. Krishna says, Anta kalecha mameva smaran mukva kalevara yat priyati samadbhavam yati nas yatra samshaya. Whoever thinks of me at the time of death, kalevaram, and me only, then he goes back to the spiritual world. Yes.
There are many reports about devotees who passed away, and usually the reports are that towards the end of their stay here, their consciousness totally transforms to a level that we could never think of. Living in India for 10 years, we always hear the stories of the devotees who come to pass away in the mountain. And not even those, but devotees who passed away anyway. And there is, many of them seem to undergo a very profound transformation towards the end of their life, because all the teachings that they have heard suddenly become, they realize, and then they get close to the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because they were teachers. So they actually changed it.
Yeah, it's But we don't have to, you know, chase after them to find out whether or not they're back to Godhead or not. All we can say is that by practicing this process, then the possibility of thinking deeply of Krishna at the time of death increases. But one has to be completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness without material attachment to go back to the spiritual world. So if that discourages someone to think, oh, this is just too difficult, but we have to try and make progress towards that aim. Whether or not we reach it or not, eventually we will, but just by practice. Abhyasena yogena tato mam ischantin dananjaya. Krishna advises, maya ashat maya mana adatsva mayi buddhim niveshaya nivashi shashi mam eva ata ordvam nasamshaya. Just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence to me. Thus you'll live with me always without any doubt. But if you can't do that, then follow the process of bhakti yoga, and this way gradually develop the desire to obtain me. So if we follow this process, gradually our Krishna consciousness will increase, and gradually our material desires will decrease. And if we get a big bonus at the time of death, so much the better. Yes.
I heard that even if somebody who is not on that platform, if he performed devotional service his whole lifetime, then there's the aspect of the mercy of the Lord, so that he is coming into the mind of the devotee.
Yeah, that may be true, but I don't think we should put all our, you know, as they say, put all your chips on that mercy factor. Because after all, it also says that if we're here now, it's a continuation of our previous activities in devotional service. Rupa Goswami says in the Nectar of Devotion, or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that if one takes the process of devotional service, it's because of his previous activities in devotional service. So obviously the mercy factor didn't work for everyone, because otherwise we wouldn't be here trying to perform devotional service. If everyone just went back to Godhead, you know, just by the mercy factor, then there wouldn't be anyone to here now doing devotional service. So it's not the only factor. We should aspire, we should hope for it, but just like Prabhupada gives the example that sometimes people get an ordinary PhD degree, But an intelligent person doesn't stay at home and not go to school, thinking that maybe I'll get an honorary degree. He goes to school and works for the degree, and if by some good fortune he gets an honorary degree, so much the better. But that's not his expectation.
What about these statements sometimes we read in the Nectar of Devotion or other books that, for example, that's stated that somebody who just once bowed down in front of the deities, he will immediately be elevated to the spiritual planet. I read one,
really?
One statement like that.
No, I don't think he's immediately elevated. Well, Prabhupada also writes later on in two chapters next after that, that this may be true for some few people, that they've gotten such a result. But it's not necessarily true for everyone. Yes, you chant Hare Krishna once, completely offenselessly, in pure love and ecstasy, then you immediately become free from all sinful reactions. You bow down before the deity once with a full mood of surrender and devotion, then you may get such an auspicious result. But we bow down and we mumble something no one can understand, including ourselves. And we get up and we're still in the same position. Nothing really changed. Therefore, it's a question of purity also. Yes.
In the discussion so far, it's just in my mind the state of whether we can imitate the Six Goswamis or whether we can follow in the footsteps of the Six Goswamis. There seems to be... One could be thinking, okay, I've got to just get it down to a few bits of butter of the day as soon as I can get there. That's what I've got to start doing. I've got to stop. I've got to get rid of the cake. No more feasts or finishes. I've got to... Things like imitating.
Yeah, you can. Well, there's a process. We should be happy in devotional service. As it says, that Gauranitai has its Paramakaruna Pahudvi Jana Nityai Gaurachandra Sava Avatara Sarashiramani Kevala Anandakanda. So Gauranitai, they're coming, they're giving us a joyful process, which includes taking prasadam, dancing, chanting. So we have to be happy in devotional service. And Bhaja Bhaja Bhai Chaitanya Nitai Sudrida Vishwasakori. So worship Gauranitai, follow their instructions and their representatives. And Vishaya Charya Se Rase Majiya Muke Bolo Hari Hari. One can't give up sense gratification all of a sudden, but one should regulate it. One shouldn't, as it says in French, one shouldn't live just to eat, but one should eat to live. So we should eat prasadam joyfully, but not just that's my real pleasure in life, is sense gratification. We regulate it, we eat what's necessary, but we eat joyfully, prasadam offered to Krishna. And this way we regulate our sense gratification. As soon as we become uncontrolled, we think sense gratification is the goal of life, then our real goal of life is missed. But if we follow this process, then as Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita about prasadam, that if one simply takes prasadam, or that if you give up eating, that's very good. Fasting is very good for spiritual advancement. Or if you just take prasadam, gradually your desire to eat will diminish. If you take prasadam, gradually you'll become purified. And then your desire for sense gratification will diminish. But the best process, as Prabhupada writes, there's so many instructions, but we should take prasadam at regulated times. And that way, gradually as our love for Krishna increases, as our devotional service increases and Krishna reveals himself, then we'll become more inspired for Krishna. And we'll forget about these other things. They won't be so significant. But for a neophyte devotee, if he tries to give up the objects of sense gratification, generally he'll become more attached to the objects. There is, in Bhajana Kriya, there was one stage called Visaya Sagara, a war against, or Viyuta Vikalpa. Viyuda means fight against mental speculation. For instance, when they think, today is Ekadasi, so today I have to fast the whole day. I won't even take a drop of water. One who's not very advanced, he may think the whole day, today's Ekadasi and I'm not even eating. And look at all these other devotees, they're eating. They're all in Maya, enjoying sense gratification. They're certainly condemned by their sinful activities. How can a great devotee like me suffering and not eating and they're enjoying, certainly fallen. But I'm fasting, I'm an elevated soul, and now there's only 23 hours and 59 minutes and 30 seconds left, and then I can finally eat. Today is Ekadasi and I'm fasting, and there's only 10 hours, 50 minutes, 39 seconds left, and finally I can get the goal of life and eat again. And now is the time to eat. Let's get it. Ah! So if one, instead of thinking of Krishna, gives up sense gratification artificially, and instead of thinking of Krishna thinks of sense gratification, then the mind will become more and more absorbed in what he thinks he's giving up. And finally, when he falls down, it's with a crash. And everyone looks around, what happened? Prabhu so-and-so fell down. Wow, that was a real loud one. So one should not artificially try to restrain the senses. One should regulate the sense gratification. And as the happiness in Krishna consciousness increases, then naturally one's material desires will diminish. Naturally, not artificially. Anything else? Yes.
By Narayana called Muni or mental speculation.
What is what?
By Narayana called Muni or mental speculation.
No, Muni doesn't mean necessarily just a mental speculator. It means that. It means a thoughtful person. But Narada Muni is thoughtful, and Nara means Krishna. And Da means giving Krishna. So he's called Narada because he's expert at giving people Krishna. So he's called Muni because he's very thoughtful how he does it. So Muni actually means someone who's very thoughtful. But unless you're giving someone to Krishna, people are just thoughtful about mental speculation. So he's a special Muni. He's a Narada Muni. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Lord Jagannath Lord Baladev Srimati Subhadra Devi Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nithai Ki Jai. Shri Giri Govardhan Ki Jai.